in Parshas Vayakhel. So we have here the first piece, is a long piece from the Akedah, a very, very fundamental discussion of Shabbos and Yanim, and Be'ez Hashem will try to go through it. Okay, the Ikar Rishon, that the first, he says there are a few Ikrim, three main fundamentals that come out of Shabbos for a person's emunah. Shabbos is an entity, it's a mitzvah that strengthens a person's emunah in different areas, and each one is something else. The first one is Mashemagiel Klolo Shomreo Ve'emunah Samitas Achidush. The first thing is the fact that it strengthens the idea of Bri of Yesh Me'ayin. He says there is no room for any type of basing the religion on anything other than that, because that allows us to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ongoing power in Hashkacha, in directing the world, in Nisim, in reward, in Onesh, and so on. Let's just explain it outside a minute. The reason why it's so basic and so fundamental is because let's try to understand something. If A is a necessary ongoing precondition for B, then there can never be B without A. But if it's not like that, there are things, for instance, let's say I make a table. So I was a necessary builder, I was a necessary cause, but not in an essential way. It's not that tabledom requires me as its root, but rather somebody needed to put together pieces, and pieces are put together, now there's a table here. On the other hand, let's say I say that certain bacteria need a temperature of X to thrive. They're built so that they start, that they're active only when the temperature is, I don't know, 70 degrees and above. So now, if the minute the thermometer dips, the bacteria just freeze. The bacteria, their metzias requires a certain level of a temperature. There are things that are essential causes, and there are things that are incidental causes. So a table needed to put the pieces together, but my doing is not what makes the table. It's not an ongoing way what makes the table a table. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perceived as big, mighty, whatever wonderful titles we want to give to him, but if the world has existence without him, then he's just another player. In other words, there's a great universe. The universe has its own mechanisms, has its laws of nature, and so on and so forth. God is mighty, awesome, etc., 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 and he just kind of invaded into this universe, and he can do a lot of good things. But it doesn't make it absolute. And it's possible to imagine that things that he's not as strong, or you know, he can miss something, or anything of that nature. Whereas if HaKadosh Baruch Hu it created the world Yesh Me'ayin, that means the reason for its existence is the underlying mitzvahs. And if there's no underlying, if the underlying cause is not there, it's gone. Let's take an example, another example, just so we flesh out a bit these ideas. A policeman comes to your door. So there are two reasons, two very basic reasons, why you acquiesce to his demands. One is he is strong, tough, has a gun maybe, and a billy club or something like that, and, you know, so that's one good reason. And the second one is that in the world of law and order and sovereignty, that the state has appointed him as the one that has the legal right to arrest you and so on. Now, let's say the state disappears. There's a revolution and the state abdicates. It's gone. Now, As far as the police are being strong and tough with a gun and a club, he may decide he still wants to arrest you, and may it might be that in a day or so somebody will come to arrest him, but he can take his chances with that, or he may deem it to be wise to scoot and forget he was ever a policeman, and so on. That's, you know, either or. It's not necessary to say that as soon as the regime collapses, the policeman will not use his gun or stick. He may or may not. The chances might be small that he would choose to, but there's nothing there that we'd say essentially has to be that way. But as far as his legal status, the second the government is gone, he's no longer a policeman. He has no legal right to arrest you. That's simply his legal abilities is the state. And if the state's not there, there's no policeman. There's no army, there's nothing. So understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yesh Ma'ayin means that everything in the world is totally in HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time. In order, and this is something which, it's not an event about creation that is true and therefore part of our emunah, but rather it's the underpinning for everything else that we believe about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ongoing abilities in terms of Hashgach and so on. So in order to teach us this, this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu Boaz Harabak Padash Mirz Yom HaShvisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us keep Shabbos so strongly, because L'masha HaShvisa Hi HaMeva'eres U'Mameses HaYoyse HaChidush Chidush Mukhlot V'Efzagomer, because the abstaining on Shabbos from work is that which validates that the world came from nothing. And he explains how that is. This next paragraph, he says, "Kilchur yish lishol, achas shachidush befoila b'shvisa." Because you can ask the following question: since we're saying that the chiddush is that there was a creation, well, wouldn't it make a lot more sense that we peg a day of work as a marker, not a day of rest? Long to Shvisa Zecha LePoel. If you're trying to say, well, it's God who first did something in the world, quote unquote, then okay, then we should do something. It should be proactive, Maisa. It's like I always wondered, why do we herald the great achievements of the American worker on Labor Day by not working? One would probably want to mark it by everybody working really hard and really good. Somebody once answered, because it doesn't mark the achievements of the workers, but rather of the labor unions, and that not working is a very apt description of it. I mean, yes, lion. Now, so he says the reason is because what we're marking is not the activity. The activity that God created the world in itself is not the point. It's that the opposite of it is total abstention, total lack of anything. The ayin, the yesh ma'ayin, also b'toyva b'china shvisehi ha'edus al achidush as muchlat. If you look good into it, you realize the abstention is to mark that it came from nothing, and therefore once the 6 day is over, there's no more creative work. The world keeps going. This tremendous amount of activity, ongoing activity, but that ongoing activity is exactly that. It's ongoing activity. There is no chiddush. Ve'ezu melachas chiddush yesh me'ayin, ki lahamtzi mitzuin yesh me'yesh. The making things yesh me'yesh lo shavas la'olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never stops. The world keeps going. But the key word is it keeps going. There is no chiddush from that day and so on. Ukumei sha'oma kivoi shavas mikol malachtoi. That's what the pasuk says. Kadosh Baruch Hu rested mikol malachtoi asher bara lekim lasis. Any act that was a creative act, that's what he rested from. And he says this is to pose v'zeh lahotzi midas hanimshachim ahadas hakaz me'ameinu. This is to contradict the belief that some people have, some Jews have, hamegalim panim b'Torah, that they are actually megalopanotaris lokalocha, but omrish yisvulu pshatei sipureo hadeo nesulima. It's being that it was Aristotle's view that the world is eternal and God is an actor within the world, there were people that felt compelled to go along with it, and they said you can explain the Torah, and he says this is absolutely wrong. It's interesting, the Rambam says it's wrong, but it's a tolerable, it's a possible belief. I don't know if the word tolerable, but it's possible. I don't know if he means that. Well, he meant simply, you know, it was always the usual minig was to do as to do it the thing as everybody else thought, didn't thought, and everybody else didn't thought that way. Yes?
So, Rabbi, is Sefer Akedah basically saying that by Shabbos we're remembering that there was a period of Chiddush in the Bria, and that stopped on a certain day, and we're commemorating that day that stopped, showing that there was a preceding period of Chiddush?
We're showing that once the Chiddush is over, this is a type of Chiddush that the contrast to it is zero. Yes, today the world is Shabbos because the type of activity that went on then was unique. Because if the only activity that's ever happened in Bria, that is what it was within the context of the Bria, that didn't stop. That keeps going. The planets keep circling, and the sun keeps shining, and the rain keeps raining.
So I guess, how does that understanding reflect that Hashem is continually enabling the world to exist? Why couldn't that still allow room for Hashem created the world, you know, 6,000 years ago, but since then, it just sort of runs on its own?
No, but it makes it the word on its own, it's just like if a person has a dream. Let's go back to the table muscle again. First makes a table, and the question is, a year after they made the table, why is the table existing? It's because the table was made a year ago. That's why it exists now, and no reason happened to stop it. Let's say I'm dreaming a dream. So I started dreaming about a horse, and 5 minutes into it, I'm still dreaming about a horse. If the question is, why am I dreaming about this horse, the answer is, because right now I'm dreaming about it. It just because I dreamt 5 minutes ago is not in any way a reason for it to be now. It must be that I'm still thinking about a horse. Anything which it depends on its very existence, on something else, that there must be a continual reason for it, as opposed to something which the cause was simply an incidental cause, a needed cause, but not essential cause. So he says like this. And therefore, he says, you must either believe in this or deny most of the Torah. This is the reason why he says the HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the Bria a second Rosh Hashanah, lechadosh u'ma'adim u'mesorim b'yad Yisrael, v'shabar n'yam v'shar tesvob b'parash l'chodesh, v'shar l'amitzayin. So he says that that's the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us another system of counting to mark the chelek of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ongoing hashkacha as opposed to the natural flow of the Bria. Then he says the next paragraph that we say this in Kiddush. V'ze'atzim asher kibnu chachamein azal b'tikin ha-kiddush she'omru zikaron l'masi b'reishis t'chilu l'mikor ha-kodesh d'echem z'sayim. You say a double phrase which kind of is awkward a bit. Zikaron l'masi b'reishis t'chilu l'mikor ha-kodesh d'echem z'sayim. Why don't you just say Zikaron l'maisa b'reishis l'tzius Mitzrayim? I mean, that would be the proper way of phrasing it. Omnam rotze b'zeh shashabes hu zikaron l'chidush ha'olam sh'maisa b'reishis. It's trying to tell me Shabbos marks maisa b'reishis, which is the tchila b'shores yisod l'ma'adim kulam sh'meikor ha'kodesh ha'kvuyim l'iskei tzius Mitzrayim sh'ruas ha'choz ha'tzori ha'muchlat. In other words, the belief in Hashkocha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashkocha in the full sense of the word, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, HaKadosh Baruch Hu interferes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu directs, is built in two layers. By establishing HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Yesod of Ma'isa Bereishis and all that encompasses with Yesh Mayin, we're saying therefore that he is he's the Zeichot Yesh Mitzrayim. In other words, in Yetzias Mitzrayim, we can mark it as the Nisim and Hashkacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and so on. Now, he goes on to the next piece. Ha'omnei says, Kishnei yom el nisku nifkadu b'mneas malach l'yom Shabbos, kishenavoy alayim b'tuvis b'inus. He says, if we take a look at what we're supposed to do on Shabbos, what's supposed to happen, there are two items. One is b'mneas malach l'yom yeshrei b'chinus, which are, ha'echot, shekat v'noifesh ha'isha hu ha'muzhar. One is that the person refrain from work. And the second is the bitl hamalocha hi vehedra, the not doing the work itself. In modern slang, yeshivish slang, we'd say it's in the chafetz and it's in the gavra. Because Baruch Hu wants things not to be done or created, and he wants the person not to do them. So he says, "V'hinei kasha techoshe betzak kavan shoyin." If you think about the first kavana, about the person. It's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care if it happens or not, but rather he cares that the person not exert effort. When you think about the second one, the main thing is that no creative activity happened, but it doesn't make a difference if the person himself is tired or whatever it is. Now, he says, as far as Melech HaShabbos goes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cared about both of them. It says, because God wants the person to rest, and he wants the malacha not to be done. It says, HaKadosh says, work 6 days, and don't work on Shabbos. And then he says, and so on. What's the point of it? So why is there an inyan of having both of them? So he says, Omnom, hato'eles asher kivnis ala be'etzav v'shoni v'dov sham nucha. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the day that a person should rest is losses the mokom lehaskil v'lesbeinin v'amit esotzeh esgod myself. To allow a person to think into the Metzias and so on. Let's speak about this and let's explain some points here. He says, on a very simple level, he says, listen, the guy is busy during the week, doesn't have time to think about the flaws of Oresh, Shabbos not working, spend the time doing this and so on and so forth. The Chinuch says the same thing by Yontif. He says Mela Shabbos, the purpose of the Shabbos on the Shabbos is that marks what happened on Shabbos. The cessation of creative activity and so on. But on Yontif, why Sukkos do we not do Melacha? And he explains that if you wouldn't have time from work. Think about it, you wouldn't think about it. So on a very, very simple level, he's saying just simply to give us time, think about it, and so on. I want to be Miss Amika drop into it. It's not simply about having time off to learn or to think about learning or whatever it is. When a person's mind shifts focus. For instance, let's say somebody comes to you with an enterprise to get involved in, some sort of business deal. So you do a lot of din v'cheshbon about, is it kedai, what's the bottom line, what are you going to get out of it? Once you make up your mind and you say yes, so you get involved in it and you're always thinking about how. Not why, not towards what end. Well, we have to get this after this, after that. Now we have to go line by line. We can't just keep, we don't look at the bottom line because there's no point in it. It's the same thing is true in the Mahalach HaAdam. In the 6 days that a person is working, the person's mind is focused on the job. I have to make shoes, I have to bang shoes, I have to order more rubber, more leather, get more customers, etc., etc., etc. The mindset for that activity is how. When I cease to work, I sit back and say, what's the point of it? I mean, many people, when they write about profound changes in their lives, when they were injured and laid up in a hospital for months, when something happened that took them out of their rote, it forced them to sit back and rethink the whole thing, because they were in a different mode. They weren't involved in it. They were able to sit back, and many of the people who ended up in jail, especially a lot of people for white collar crimes, it gives them a chance to think about where they were going, was it worth the price, and so on. People who are more people who are criminals just simply in their nature, doesn't help all that much to just spend the time thinking how to do the next one not to get caught. But people sometimes who psychologically, it's like they got so involved, A led to B led to C, C led to D, D led to E, it's not as if they had changed consciously goals, but they didn't have time to think about it. Sometimes an enforced period of thinking about things allows a person to see things differently. Shabbos, a person says, there's no business, I'm not involved in it. Well, what's the point of it all? Now ask myself, is this a volume of work necessary? Is this the calling that brings out what ought to bring out, and so on and so forth? So the himnos from Malacha is something which is, that itself puts the person into the mode of thinking about it. And then he brings down the next two paragraphs. That's the Zohar and the Shomer. The Zohar is the Keneged Menuchas Adam, that allows the person to remember, to think, and the Shomer is actually on the Bitul Melacha and so on. We're going down to the next piece, which is the Kesher between Shabbos and learning Torah. Ve'ikar Sheni, which is sort of the point that he's been saying till now. It does two things. First of all, Shabbos includes for us the inyanim of Talmud Torah, and it makes it a day of Talmud Torah. Hapena echad, the simple one facet is, because there's one day in the week when you don't do work. They have to gather together, and they gather together to listen to somebody teaching. Everybody sits and learns what he's capable of learning. The people who know how to learn are able to teach, to talk about mitzvahs, halachas yom v'yom. Like it's common, and Kalzem would tell me Yeshalmi, but Nitna Shabbos is Yom Tovim, Lisrael Alum and Torah. So he says, so one Indian is learning the halachas, the other one he says, V'asher lo yoloyab Shabbos Nafshel Tashemano, the Shabbos called the Torah Zosim Yisharim and so on and so forth. A person who doesn't use Shabbos for any type of ruchnistic improvement is really, really is committing a certain spiritual suicide, because all of these azharis, everything was, a person was given all these things. Rakshi Shabbos kodesh Hashem, the Shabbos is nafshei. The not doing melacha was given to allow Shabbos to become a yom kodesh, and he quotes Yerushalmi. Ami said, "Amir Bami, Il Moli Simoitzu Shenimni. If I would find a partner to pass the halacha, or you see Mate Melacha B'Moed, I would be Mate Melacha on Chalamoid." He says, "Kiloi Nes or Melacha B'Moed L'Kshechna V'Shayis Naskim B'Teira V'Achshav Echna V'Shayis Nepechsin." The reason why the Torah said not to do Melacha on Chalamoid was so that people have time to learn, to have time to be misboning, and people are eating and drinking, and they're doing kol davasa, better off they should work. So the tachlis of Shabbos is the tachlis of using it to learn, to grow in ruach nistik, and so on and so forth. Then he says there's a second way, a second facet, of why Shabbos is so misugal for learning, we'll just read the line or two and then even a little bit ma'arech. V'apen ha'sheni hu inyan dak ruch nechvayit. It's a very fine ruch nechvayit. Gilu oznam alo bala kabola mitis. The bala kabola were the ones who taught us. V'hu hi matzal azayim ha'nichbot skulu neflo le'ezer lo'hoyel b'vakash chach m'teira. The day in itself has a special skula for the people that learn Torah and so on. And he explains because every seventh carries itself a tremendous skula. Seventh is Shabbos, the seventh day. The seventh sphere, which is called Malchus. In other words, for a person learning, Shabbos is a spiritual day even in the world of learning. It opens up a gateway for a lot of depth in Torah itself. It's something which some chassidim were makbid to learn more in Yonim of Pnimius because it says it's a Yemin and Nishmasin. It's a day that carries itself a school of Gedola for learning. It brings on the bottom that Reb Shimei Yochai says in the Medrash, Amalak HaShpol Knes Yisrael Yeh Ben Zugoch, that Shabbos and Knes Yisrael are like a couple. In other words, they're parallel to each other because the Midah that Shayach to Klai Yisrael amongst the Mesoilam is Shayach to Shabbos amongst the other days. So in this learning aspect itself, we have a special yichud of Shabbos because of it being the seventh and so on. It's a gateway to something spiritual. The third ikar shlishi, who he says, Hayom haKodesh hazeh remes gadol roishim niflo l'olam hanitzchi shekolei Shabbos. V'Shabbos hagadol bemes. Shabbos, in its third aspect, is meramis to the end of days, Emoisa Mashiach. Ki k'moy shemayinu b'ikar rishon sheshesh me'amaitzem zechol zman ha'ashinim v'atnua, v'yam Shabbos zech ha'mnucha. So just like in the mini-world, Shabbos is the seventh day of 6 days, it's also a remis for the entire scope of a person's life. A person who works all his life, and he gets to a tachlis, which is a zman of menucha and chayolamim. And now he explains, this is why, v'ma sha'omer misadei ha'tfilos b'reshayna shaloi, atik dasem eshvila shmecha tachlis ma'isa shmai varet, sasisa oisei. It's interesting, he doesn't mention this, but it's talk a lot about it, and all sorts of sfarim, that the three tefillahs on Shabbos are merames connected these three Shabbosim. There's a Shabbos of Brias HaOlam, and that's Ata Kedashta. The first Friday night we say Ata Kedashta, Zirim HaShvi, which is at Maisa Brachos. We bring the parasha Vayechulu, which speaks about, it's the Brachos. Shabbos morning is Keneged Talmud, is Keneged Talmud Torah. Keneged Torah was given, the Kul Alma Moed that Torah is given on Shabbos, so it's Shabbos Matan Torah. We say Yismach Moshe Matnas Chelkoi, Kevin and Krasoloi, Kultavasoi Sata, and so on, that's Matan Torah. So that's Shabbos of Matan Torah, that's the second one. Let's see in a second, we'll explain one thing. And the final one is Keneged the Shabbos of Lasad Lavoi, the Shabbos that's Yom Shikul Shabbos Nuchah Hayalamim. We say Atu Echad V'Shimcha Echad Mikam V'Yisol Ge'echad Baretz, and so on, which is the Lasad Lavoi, and so on. There's another Kneich that they say is that we say Bah, Boy, and Bum. You know, the Vinuchavah, Vinuchavoy, Vinuchavam. The first Shabbos in the Bria, we were the Mekablim. It was Yeshmayin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. It was no input of us. The second Shabbos is, Matan Torah is all about our Bechir and our doing. And the final Shabbos, the Arzos Lovi, is Bum. If you have a Zohar in his, if Klal Yisrael has both in itself, then there's a shlemus to it. So the three parts, which is in Yom Tovim, you don't have three different Shemoneses, you have Seishon Esser. In Shabbos, you have three different Shabbosim. And then he finishes in the piece, and this is very fascinating. It's something that today is less common. I mean, you see he quotes from the Kabbalah, about the Kabbalah about Shabbos, about Malchus, etc. He also feels very easy quoting from Aristotle. He quotes him constantly. He says, "V'ine achoike kosa v'perik yud me'amidos." I think it's the Nicomedean ethics of his. He says, "Yare ki ha'oishahu b'shvisa." He shows that happiness is when something comes to rest. A person is willing to do work for shvisa. Now the person will work hard in order to be shvisa, so it's a raya that shvisa is the goal for something. And it's true, he says, this is the Vemes of Torah. So in other words, Shvisa is that which, even the concept when people say they've been able to retire. In other words, somewhere along the line, a person that has that amal and malacha is only a means, and there always has to be some sort of tachlis for it, and that's why Shabbos is the tachlis for it. It's very, very frequent in the Sefer where he'll quote Aristotle, and Aristotle in those days was considered like a work of science, and it was Matthias, and either the Torah says it's right or the Torah says it's wrong. But at any rate, the overall picture is he has a tremendously sweeping picture of Shabbos, that Shabbos is kind of the three most basic emunas of Klal Yisrael: the emuna of Yesh Me'ayin, the emuna of Avodas Hashem, and the need to use Shabbos for Avodas Hashem, specifically for Talmud Torah, and the Deher of Lasid Lavo, that everything has a tachlis in the world, everything's going towards a tachlis, and there's a Shabbos lawsuit and so on and so forth. Okay.